You would. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. We're back to studying the book. The call of the church, 1 through 3. The conduct of the church, 4 through 6. Paul's writing to Roman citizens, a mixed group, mostly Gentiles. We've been dealing with the fact that in verses 3 through 6, God called us. God predestined. God called. He knew all about you. He planned you. There are no accidents. He chose you for adoption, to be His full child with all the rights, authority thereunto appertaining, as they say in documents. It's His choice. He has kind intentions, this verse ended with in verse 6. Did it not say that? According to the kind intention of His will. In verse 5, sorry. Shouldn't take my glasses off and not look at my Bible. Why is He doing this? He wants the glory. Why can't you get glory? Because we're sinners and we'll take the glory and we'll become very arrogant. God can take the glory and He'll never become arrogant. He doesn't have a sin nature like we do. Verses 3 through 6 are on what the Father has planned and is working out that plan. Listen to me. Don't believe the hogwash of evolution. I know Harvard, Yale, Cambridge, Oxford all say this scubalon. I just swore in the pulpit and you have no idea that I did it. Scubalon. Paul said, I consider everything be loss. You say dung. And it's a lot worse than that. Listen to me. They're lying to you because they want to control you. They can control you through evolution by telling you can't depend upon God. You depend upon us elite that lost $2 trillion in Friday's meltdown over the Brexit. Don't believe the lie. Your plan, God loved you. He chose you. How do I know that? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's it. You have to believe. How does that work out, preacher, where if He's chosen, I have to believe? Well, you're not a robot. You're not the artificial intelligence they're designing. You have a decision to make. What will you do with Jesus Christ? This is all in Jesus Christ. This is not apart from Jesus Christ. I want you to get that. Apart from Jesus Christ, forget it. I don't say that meanly. That's what the Bible says. I will preach what the Bible says. Although that is now considered mean-spirited. Canada, if you preach some things in Canada, you go to jail. We have kids that are facing jail that we get from the seminary when they go back to Canada to preach. It's coming here. I told you about Bill 1146. I gave Eddie the article that if this bill passes and it's heading fast for passage, Christian colleges and universities and schools will no longer, here's what they're going to do, say whatever you want. But if you say certain things, you no longer get tax-exempt status, grants, and other forms. Do you know what would happen to most Christian colleges if you couldn't get the government lucre? Close. They'll close. Bill 1146, just tracked it on Friday, made sure the administration was aware of it, sent it and said, yes, we're aware, this is very dangerous. The president of Biola, and for some of you who go back far enough in this church, in ancient times, an old pastor that was here, named John Jackson, who's now president of the university, was decrying the fact of what's about to happen to Christian education in California. And what happens here goes like a tsunami back. Does the strange person up front want to say something? You know I don't care.
I have the phone numbers of every representative on the Judiciary Committee. I called them all Friday and spoke to each one of their
personally?
People in Sacramento. I can give everyone the phone numbers if they'll email me if they want them.
See Mark.
Yeah. And this is Tuesday that this gets voted on.
My point is, if you're following Jesus Christ, they're going to be against you.
Yes.
And they want to close down Christian institutions so your kids will go learn about evolution and think that you're all a massive accident. The Bible tells the exact antithetical opposite. Why? There's only two families in the world and there's really only two truths. You're either God's child or Satan's. And I've had people walk out on me here when I said it. It's what the Bible says, not me. And you're either on the Lord's side or the other side. That's the way it is. Choose you this day which way we go. Now, we're not mean-spirited. Christians have not been kind to some people, sinners. We should be because we have the message of salvation. We should be kind. Now, 1 through 6 has told you, 3 through 6 has told you God chose. Okay? And everybody's going to like this. Now I'm going to show you that verse 7. Forgive me. I don't want this to smack of elitism. And I don't mean it this way, but the English doesn't carry over much of what the Greek is saying. It kind of does, but doesn't. Everybody loves God chose me. I've been predestined. Those are great truths. But you have to understand what God chose. In 7 through 12. Because you can't see in English what Paul is talking about. They mingled among the population. You could not tell most of the time who was and who wasn't. But if you were part of the group, you knew each other. I'm going to repeat that. They mingled among the population. You often couldn't tell who was and who wasn't. Sometimes you could, sometimes you couldn't. They composed 60% of the population. They were more intelligent, very cunning, and very dangerous. All right, let me go over that again. They mingled among the population, and the population really couldn't tell, unless you were one of them, a lot of times, who they were. As a matter of fact, 60% of the population was this. They were highly intelligent, cunning, more educated, and because of that, very dangerous. No, I'm not talking about terrorists. I'm talking about slaves in the Roman Empire. Rome had a problem. Remember now, in those days, everything was labor intensive. Remind me where I park. Will somebody remind me where I park? Roman slaves, because I'm going to do something now that's going to make me lose where I parked. I know what happens to me now. All the fish oil in the world doesn't seem to rescue me from this. Anyway, I read an article in the paper. I was telling Mr. Stevens, Rolls Royce in Britain, all cargo ships. You see these things going out of Port Hueneme? Starting in 2020, they've already got it, saw the pictures, they're implementing it, building them. All the ships will be drones. There will be two captains for multiple ships on the sea. He showed the cockpit of this captain. He's sitting there. It looks like Star Trek. I kid you not. They'll all be doing the little joystick thing with all the ships. They turn a button. They can see 360 for the one ship. Hit another button. See 360 for the other ship. And these things are going to be out on the ocean all by themselves. By the way, they can fly planes now without a pilot. But no one wants to get on a plane. Where's the pilot? They can do these things. What are you going to do when all the jobs... You know when you want preachers? It's coming for preachers. You want a preacher? Dial up the preacher you want to listen to, and a holographic image will come up, and he will preach to you. What do you need me for? This is what's going to happen. Think of all the people that will be unemployed within the next 20 to 30 years. They say it's coming. Now, this is the exact opposite of what Rome was. Rome didn't have artificial intelligence and robots and drones. They were a much driven by human slave labor. Rome had a policy. The more they conquered nations, the more they had to enslave people to keep the defense industry going. Doesn't that sound familiar? So they incorporated into their society. What do? You take these people that you conquer and you bring them in. They're more educated than you are. More doctors and more lawyers. The Romans were great at one thing, killing and law. Sure sounds like our country, doesn't it? Well, they stole what they could build from others. They stole it from the Greeks. That's what Rome was great. Steal, law, and enslaving. And by the time they were done, they had expanded their empire so much that in order to take care of the empire, they had to bring in more and more slaves to help take care of the vast empire of agriculture and everything else. 60% of the city of Rome was slavery. They had slaves of every class, from the highest slave, like a doctor or a lawyer who... By the way, if you killed a slave in Rome, you ready for this? Back in my days of seminary, it was $3 fine. It's probably today with inflation, 15. Imagine being a slave in that day. By the way, the Rome government usually said, ah, that's okay. They didn't collect the money. Imagine you being a slave. You were owned by someone like you would own a dog. And where you got stuck with in Rome depended upon the master that bought you. And some of these guys were pretty brutal. You ladies refused the advances of the owner. I told you about Mao and his green teeth, green black teeth. They'd kill you. That was slavery in Rome. And the Romans feared the slaves. You say, well, thank God we don't have slavery today. Well, here we go. You ready? You ever had a mortgage? You're a slave. How about a car payment? How about if you don't pay your property taxes every year, what happens to your home? You'll join the people over there at the lights with the sign. They enslave us today, and I've heard many economists talk about this, but they do it without the physical chains. Now, why do I bring up all of that? Because I want to tell you what God chose. Because in this next verse, starting in verse 7, this starts to talk about what Jesus Christ did. God predestined, God chose, God made you sons, but guess and daughters, guess whom He chose. Slaves. Remember what we said? God has not chosen the great things of this world, but the despised? Well, let me show you. Now, first, look at verse 7. In Him, First of all, this doesn't take place. What I'm about to tell you, the choosing, anything does not, if you do not know Jesus Christ, this does not apply to you. There's only two families in the world. You're either a child of God who follows Jesus Christ. Anybody else, as nice as you are, you could give millions to charity, and guess who your daddy is, the Bible says. Devil comes as an angel of light, so don't expect all of his children to look like horns and everything else, okay? This is in Christ. Apart from Christ, you, me, are not chosen. You want to be chosen? You have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have to beg God for this. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So it's in Him. But then look at this. We have... Okay. You look at that and you start... This is why theologians, they need to quit monkeying with this. You have what? The English word completely, totally doesn't explain what the Greek is saying. In the Roman Empire, 60% were slaves. How would you stop being a slave? Well, a good master could declare you a free person and let you go. How often do you think that would have happened? Good luck. There were some good masters who would do that. But remember, Philemon, have you ever read the book of Philemon? Philemon. Well, that's about a master who would not let his slave what? Go. Paul was reminding him, you know, your brother's in Christ, but his slave ran away. Otherwise, a slave could, by many years of hard, intensive saving, have enough money to do this. He'd go to a local shrine of some god, and this is why preachers are always trying to do this. Go up to one of the priests of the shrine, say, I've got some money for you, and the priest then would dedicate the slave to the god, and the guy was free by paying a price. Good luck how long that would take you in Roman days to collect enough shekels or denarii to do that. Listen to me now. Why do I bring that up? Because the word redemption means to buy a slave. To pay a ransom. Now here's what God chose. He chose slaves. That's what that term means. Now I want to look at the several terms that the Bible talks about in terms of bringing out this idea. Here we have the word redemption looks at the payment of a price to free a slave. This talks about the cost. What did it cost the Father to predestine you, to choose you? It cost Him a price. You mean it cost God a price? Yes. It says in that term, you are a slave to what? Jesus said, let's go, just want to show you, this is just reflecting Jesus' teaching. Preach really what Jesus taught and you'll empty out the Houston Rocket Dome of Joel Osteen within 20 minutes of preaching what Jesus preached. Jesus was giving a Billy Graham come forward, I'm kidding, in John chapter 8. Verse 31, Jesus therefore was saying to Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. So guess who Jesus says are truly His disciples? They follow Jesus' word. Don't follow preachers. Look at the word. And I challenge you, if Dave ever preaches something that is not in the word, feel free to get up and say, hey, like Mark did. Okay? These preachers that tell you you have to be silent and listen to the person rant and rave and you can't get up and object, that's how they control thinking. You don't let them control your thinking. You go by the Word of God. subvert the dominant paradigm, question authority. You may interrupt me. Here's what Jesus taught to the Jews who believed in him. If you abide in my word, then you are disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Okay, why did he use the word free? Because it applies to slavery. He told his fellow Jews, guess what? You need to be free. Well, they were the chosen people, they thought. So they didn't need to be free from anybody. They were special. Jesus said what? You ain't special. Look what he says. We are Abraham's offspring. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? Boy, I like the way Jesus preached. He made everybody mad. That's my preaching. Jesus said this, truly, truly, I say to you, every man who commits sin is what?
Slave.
There you go. By the way, you're a slave two ways. You're a slave to sin and you're a slave to the new world order. You don't understand this. They have enslaved you in every way except the physical chains. And I'm glad they lost $2 trillion last Friday. The elite 0.001% that want to bring you, you're Christian, you're not going into that new world order. But Jesus taught this. If you commit sin, then you are a slave. By the way, when you tell people they're slaves, they didn't like it. By the time Jesus is done here, they want to stone him. So that's why when people walk out on Pastor Dave, I'm used to it. At least they didn't pick up stones. Now, this all comes from Jesus' teaching. This isn't Paul making. Here, the New Testament teaching is we're born into this world slaves. Slaves to sin. How many families are there? Children of Satan. We're all children of Satan, the Bible teaches. And we're slaves to... Why, how did that happen, Pastor Dave? Well, listen to me. It's completely opposite of the lies the elitists tell your children. There was an original couple. And because he loved his wife, he took the apple. Ladies, you never know the power until you know what Adam did. Satan tempted Eve. Eve looked at Adam and says, come on. He looked at Eve. She had that look in her eye. And Adam, I can't live without her. He took the fall. It's a love story. It's not a good love story, but it's a love story. Ladies, you never know the power a woman has over a true... There is no normal male, but you know what I mean. We're all born slaves, children of Satan. Guess what? God's plan is to free slaves. To free them. That's what this word redemption means. Mike and Beck, God has bad taste. He chose slaves. If he wanted to, he could have wiped the whole human race out and started over. He didn't. Because there's a kind intention to his will that God gets the greatest glory according to the kindness of his will, the riches of his grace, to display his grace. It would have been no display of God's grace if he just slaughtered us all and instantly started over. God wants to show his kindness to you. That's what salvation is all about. Now, there are several terms for redemption that we have to look at because it's saying, remember now, the outline is, call a church, call the church, God chose. 3-6, remember? But then in 7-12, it's the Son redeemed a bunch of dirty, stinking slaves. God didn't choose the wise people. He's drawing a people to himself that are enslaved. Now, this word means, talks here about the payment of a price. God had to pay a price to do this. What do you mean, God's in charge? He didn't. Listen to me, when we sinned in Adam, God's holiness was insulted. That's why Satan did this. Listen to me. There is a person named Satan. It is a being. And yes, he is a person. In the sense he's not human, but he's a being. God created him. Whatever it is, it's not a him, ladies. Whatever Satan is, it's neither male nor female. Whatever this thing is. I'm not even sure he's an angel. How dare you? It never calls him directly an angel. I said that to a kid, wrote his whole dissertation on the fall of Satan. I go, prove to me he's an angel. And every verse he went through doesn't directly equate him. It says in Job that Satan appeared among the angels. It doesn't say that he's an angel. He just was with them. He could be a multiple. We don't know what this thing is. But he was absolutely the top of God's creation. And you know what he said? I'm going to take over. And what you see in the lie of evolution, in the lie of what is in this world now, is a cunning being of immense, immense, immense intelligence trying to humiliate God in everything he does. Everything you see operating in this world is to humiliate God. That's why abortion reigns in our country. Babies made in the image of God. Satan wants humanity killed in hatred because God loved us and did not choose to redeem him when he fell. By the way, there's a lot of proof that abortion is in this country because the elites love to offer these little children to Satan, Lucifer, their God. If you think I'm blowing smoke, do the research. You should look up the Deutero affair in Belgium. The elites in Belgium traffic in little children, offering little children. And why don't you hear about it? Because they blocked the investigation in Belgium, the Deutero affair. What was I talking about? That's what this picture is. This means the payment of a price. In order to get us out of this slavery condition, God had to pay a price. But let me show you some other verses that give this idea. Now, ideas, imagine yourself, you're born in this world, the Bible says, you're chained. You didn't ask for it, did you? Our great-grandparents. In God's plan, they chained us. Adam and Eve. But God is love. And he's going to, through Jesus Christ, he's breaking the bonds of this slavery that we have. And there are a couple terms. This talks about here in Paul, the payment of the price. But let's go to a couple of other places to tease this out. Let's talk about Galatians 3:13. Just hold your finger there. Go to Galatians, because I want to tease out for you that this is a consistent picture in the New Testament. Go to Galatians. Did we not preach through Galatians? So this is, see the verse 13 of chapter 3? See that word? What word is used? What word is used in Ephesians? It's not the same word. See what you lose. I'm not saying you should, tomorrow I start Greek. I'm not saying you should come to my class because most people think they've gone into the tribulation by the time I get done with them. Okay, let's just be honest. It's a difficult subject. No kidding. I can't help it. It's just the way the subject is. It would be like poor Dr. Crew learning all from those crazy surgeons when he had to sit there and learn how to carve up. Anyway. This is not the same word. Do you know what this means? This word redemption? This is the picture of you. Here's what they would do with slaves in the Roman Empire. You would be shipped in a boat from your native land. And then they would take you to a marketplace. The Ventura Mall. What's that place called? Huh? What's the mall called over here? Pacific View. Here's what they would do. They would find a place where all the businesses were, take you off a boat. You would be shackled, and they would whip you to keep you moving, And they would put you on a platform. And wealthy Roman citizens dressed in their beautiful togas would inspect you like they do a horse. Literally. If your slave owner was hetero, ladies, you had no dignity. Imagine that, being taken from your country where you were valued, privacy to your own person, and you were paraded naked on stage for some leering Roman elite. If that guy was homosexual, gentlemen, it happened to you. He would inspect you like that, because many of these precious people became, they had slaves for the toilet. They had slaves. You ever heard of the Royal Order of the Privy? The Brits. The king, the royal family could not take care of their own private needs in the bathroom. They had they'd call a guy a lord, and he would I'm trying. He would take care of their most personal needs for them, and they wouldn't have to do it. The Lord of the Privy. Those slaves. Where do you think that the Brits got that idea from? The Romans. Where do you think the Romans got it from? Another part. Inhumanity of man. And then, after that, the only way you could get out of it was for someone to buy you out of that. So here, this term, he redeemed us, means not the payment of the price, but the condition you were in. You were in the marketplace as a slave to sin, and he got you out of it. There's a nuance difference. But there's, look at 4:5 of Galatians. In order that he might redeem. In other words, it pictures you as a slave up on the stage, everybody leering at you, looking at your teeth and everything else, and seeing if you are strong enough to do the work of the master who would whip you, and you had no rights, and God got you out of that, is the picture. It's the idea of you're in the marketplace of slavery. These two words. But there's another word. Turn to Revelation 5:9. Revelation 5:9. By the way, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to cancel this whole system out. This elite slavery that they're chaining us into a new world order. The only thing that's going to stop this now is Jesus Christ coming back and taking these elites and immediately imploding their whole system of the new world order. Worthy are you to take the book. He's singing, they're singing of Christ's worthiness. And to break its seals, for you were slain. And you did. There's the other Greek word. You did redeem. It means this. You saw that slave, but who did he purchase? Keep reading. Who did he purchase? Who did he purchase? Notice every tribe. Guess what? It ain't one tribe that gets chosen. In the book of Revelation, the saints celebrate every tribe. Filipinos, British, Scottish, Africans, South America, Mexico. God is choosing a chosen people out of every tribe by redeeming them from the marketplace of sin. In the new covenant, redemption is for how many tribes? That's why they sing of his glory. Because he's choosing a group of people that he has adopted as his children because of the riches of his grace. You see, so back in this, go back now to Ephesians. Paul is emphasizing here, it cost God a price to free you. Do you know what that price was? His Son. For God, what? So loved the world that He gave His only Son. Not begotten, it means His unique Son. I'll explain that. I think I did that. Some of you may not have been here when I was in John for 20 years. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish. You see, this is now saying God planned for you in adoption to be fully His child, but it cost God the greatest price it could ever cost. Your redemption was costly. I'm going to set this up for next week. Next week we're going to find out that when Adam and Eve, our great-grandparents, I wonder what they looked like. Do you think they had blue or brown eyes? Yes. Huh? How about blonde or red hair or black?
Yes.
I have no idea. It was all there genetically in potential, every one of us. But anyway, they messed everything up. At this point, Satan ended up in God's plan controlling this world. He thought he defeated God. He's operative today. Just look at the music industry. You want to go down a world of hurt? Can I give you a website to go to? You want to see the elitism of the satanic Luciferian elites? You ready? I don't say I affirm everything in the website, okay? But VigilantCitizen.com. He'll show you what the elite do in the music industry. He's a Christian in Canada. He'll take and show you every time these Hollywood music things go on, what they're really saying and how they love Lucifer, their God. The point is, we've got to talk about how the fact it cost God the highest price to purchase, to redeem. The focus here on this word is the price paid was His Son. How does that work, Pastor Dave? Well, we'll find out next week. Every one of our sins He put on His Son. And Christ paid the price to redeem slaves from sin.